The minority Labor government in Queensland is facing its first crisis since being elected exactly 2 months ago. As you know, the member for Cook, Billy Gordon, has preempted his expulsion from the ALP by resigning from the Labor Party and for now remains in Parliament as an independent. Billy Gordon admits he did not fully disclose his past to Labor, including childhood break and enter charges and more recently allegations of domestic violence, which are now being investigated by Queensland Police. According to reports in the Australian newspaper, a second woman has now made a domestic violence accusation against him, and the Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, is calling on Billy Gordon to resign from the Parliament. The independent Speaker of the Parliament, Peter Wellington, did the same on this program yesterday.
I think he needs to resign and a by-election should be held as soon as possible. But it is up to the member for Cook, Billy Gordon, to make that decision. At the moment, there's no evidence that he has done anything which would require Parliament to ask him to formally resign or to have his endorsement removed. He is duly elected, the member for Cook, but I would hope he'll do the honourable thing, do the right thing, not just for the people of Cook, but for Queensland and for Parliament.
That's the Queensland Speaker, Peter Wellington. Well, last night on Late Line, Noel Pearson defended Billy Cook, saying he is being denied natural justice.
It's not up to the Premier or the Speaker or the opposition to demand his resignation from Parliament. He has obviously fallen foul of the rules of the Labor Party in respect of disclosure of his personal history and so on. That's a matter for the Labor Party. But the question as to whether he's entitled to remain as elected by the people of Cape York is up to the electors of Cape York at the next poll. I don't think that he's been afforded all of the natural justice that he should have been afforded. They have thrown him under a very brutal bus.
That's Noel Pearson speaking last night on Late Line about Billy Gordon, the member for Cook in the Cape York area. Graham Orr is Professor of Law at the University of Queensland. Graham Orr, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Is Billy Gordon entitled, under the rules of this land, to remain sitting in Parliament?
Under the law of the land, yes, he is. The only thing that would disentitle him is if he was to be convicted in the future whilst an MP for more than 1 year in jail. But they're trying to achieve, I guess, through politics, what can't be achieved directly through law. In fact, to try and intimidate him to leave Parliament would be contempt of Parliament, and to try and bribe or induce him with another job could be bribery of an MP. But his opponents are entitled to use whatever harsh criticism they can to try and make it politically and possibly even emotionally untenable for him to stay on.
Okay, but just to be clear, in terms of the rules in Queensland for expelling a member, I think they're different from the rules in the federal parliament, but past convictions, and he has some for breaking into in the fair back past, in the 90s, I believe, that bears no relationship upon this.
Absolutely not. I mean, there have been some very famous politicians in the past, you know, even members of Sinn Féin, but also we had a president of the Senate for nearly 8 years from Queensland who had spent quite a bit of time in Bogger Road for political offences. But the difference in those cases are, with those high-profile figures, is that their past tended to be known. So really the political question comes down to whether we're creating a kind of a conventional rule that anyone who hasn't disclosed anything significant before their election can somehow be lent upon and forced out to create a by-election.
I'll come to the disclosure in a moment, but in terms of being lent upon, what would be illegal? What would amount to a criminal inducement? What's the line between, you know, of intimidation and bribery and just pressure on an MP? And who's the judge of that?
No. Well, that would ultimately be the DPP and possibly the courts. And we've had so few cases in this area, even though the law looks clear and black and white, you know, offering benefits to someone to change the way they would behave in Parliament is very difficult. But we know in the past that people have been lured out, for instance, by promises of ambassadorships and so on. Now, Mr. Gordon is unlikely to be in that situation, but, you know, given he's someone who's been recently elected and he may even have future legal expenses and so on, he's not likely to give up a salaried position that he feels he's quite entitled to continue in, as long as he feels he has the kind of emotional energy to do so.
And I guess so long as he feels like he has the support of his electorate, the voters of Cook there that Noel Pearson was talking about, they're the only ones, they voted him, and they're the only ones who should be able to unelect him. But they won't get that chance if he doesn't step aside. They're not going to get that chance for another 3 years, are they?
Well, I guess the kind of racial and gender politics of this are interesting. But Cook is a unique seat in many respects in Queensland. There's, I think, over 50% of its electors have Indigenous backgrounds. And there might be a lot of people say, well, you know, the past, an individual's past is a past in the sense that he rehabilitated, he's entitled to even deny, I think, going for most public service positions, that he has a criminal record, because we're talking about relatively minor things. He wasn't sentenced to any prison time going back decades or more in terms of what's been proven against him. So
the moral suasion here is about disclosure or lack of it, isn't it? That's what the Labor Party is going on. I'm not sure that the Speaker is in that class, but that's what the Labor Party is pushing on. So if he did resign, and he doesn't have to, as you're saying, under the law, if he did resign and recontested the by-election and won, well, then all this pressure would have to disappear, wouldn't it?
That's right. He'd be in a very unusual position then, because it'd be very difficult to win a seat as an independent. It is a traditional Labor seat. It hasn't been held by independents. But if somehow that were to happen, of course he would have a complete mandate. And, I mean, so far the only people who have shown him much sympathy are the Counter-Australian Party, who, whether it's a sort of a more regional blokey thing or whether they also have been dealt back into the game and they feel that they might be able to... in future, keep him on side and have a sort of voting bloc of three, I don't know.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 12 past eight. Our guest is Graham Orr, Professor of Law at the University of Queensland. In this case, it seems to be some allegations around domestic or violence within a relationship that seems to be the bridge too far for the Queensland Premier. Now, these are not proven or tested yet. They have now been referred to the police. Is that where we're at?
That's right. In terms of anything ongoing, we're talking about issues in a relationship quite a few years ago, and one would imagine there could be some very difficult evidentiary issues either way to prove Mr. Gordon's denial. There was just an ugly breakup and there was a lot of verbal altercations, or to prove the allegations of his partner that it got physical. But I think you're quite right. That is the deeper concern that triggered all this. It was just the cumulative effect of the other issues that broke the camel's back, so to speak, for the Premier and the Speaker.
Talking of the Speaker on this program, as you've heard, came out and said that, you know, there is no legal requirement that Billy Gordon quit, but he thinks he should. Has the Speaker behaved with propriety, do you think, in so publicly calling on a duly elected member to resign?
Yeah, well, he's an unusual Speaker in the sense that he was our first independent Speaker for a century. He's also one on which not only the government is dependent, we've had that before in other states, but where he has... he's wanting to play a substantive role in determining policy and so on. So I think it's consistent with the fact that the Speaker usually seeks to uphold the dignity of the House, as well as the fact that this is a Speaker who has a key casting vote on a lot of issues. And it did look as if, he was pushing Ms. Palaszczuk's hand, because he came out on Sunday morning saying there needs to be a by-election. And she followed suit. And in some ways, you would have thought intuitively Labor would have preferred not a by-election. But I think Ms. Palaszczuk understands that she's got a bit of a honeymoon, and it better to have a by-election now than in 6-9 months unpredictable period of time.
So in terms of the decorum of the House, or I forget the term you used exactly, I mean, in the federal parliament last time around, we had the precedent of Craig Thompson, where the then Liberal opposition decided to not accept his so-called tainted vote. They would remove one of their members, in effect disenfranchising his vote and those who voted for him.
Yeah, Mr. Shaw in the Victorian Parliament, and both those parliaments ran full terms, even with MPs who'd been forced out of the governing party and were on criminal charges. So it's just absurd to think that you can somehow subvert constitutional law and say we're going to reduce the parliament by one member by having people running out of parliament, or, you know, trying to predict which way Mr. Gordon might vote if he stays on. If he stays on, he's the elected member for Cook. His vote's equally as good as anyone else's. People can try and shun him and ostracise him, treat him like the Queensland Chief Justice, but you can't just subvert the numbers. And ultimately, the numbers are important in Parliament, and people will make their arrangements accordingly, including perhaps, if he continues to sit, I can imagine him possibly seeking some solace with the Qatar MPs if Labor treat him too badly, as Mr. Pearson said.
Well, the numbers are crucial in Parliament. That's what this is all about, I think, in many ways. But as you say, the law is clear. Should we be considering changing the laws, not just particularly of this case, but more broadly around disclosure? I know that you've suggested perhaps an option to require all candidates to make declarations on certain issues. A false declaration could be a trigger for the MP to vacate their seat. In the US, voters can recall or sack a politician they've elected. We don't have a mechanism like that, do we?
No, we don't, although in New South Wales they were thinking about it. But I think recall would be very difficult in a party-based system because it would be misused terribly. We've got to understand that a lot of power in the major political parties especially, and their ability to endorse people and try and kick people out. You want to add that power to that where they could try and seize a safe seat back just because someone was being a dissident? I don't think so. The question of disclosure is difficult. It's the same question of, when is someone's past their past? At what point the law accepts that you are rehabilitated and that you don't have to disclose relatively minor offences? But we want to treat politicians, hold them to higher standards. So I guess one option would be for politicians to be forcibly declaring certain issues at the time they nominate, but then that's not easy. The Electoral Commission can't become like a kind of second police force. Mm. But at least I guess you would have a trigger if you believe that someone like Billy Gordon should not be allowed to remain in Parliament. Because you would have the false declaration, the failure to disclose, and the issue would be that ethical issue rather than what he may or may not have done in the past.
Graham Orr, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome, Fran.
Graham Orr is Professor of Law at the University of Queensland.